We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM here on a Monday morning. And we pray that you are having a great day. You're ready to hit the ground running as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And with your goal and my goal to be to represent him well in this land that we live so that people will see that Jesus loves them and that he has a wonderful plan for their life. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and we would love to have you join us. We've had some exciting things that are going on, progress being made as far as needs being met and things like that. And we are very grateful. We've got some ministry personnel that are helping us to make sure that we don't do stupid stuff. I don't know about you, but I don't need to do any more stupid stuff in my life. There's enough stupid stuff in my past to no longer have a desire to do stupid stuff in the present or in the future. And so we want to thank God for those personnel who are helping us in some of our ministry areas to make sure that we stay on track. So thank you for tuning in. We want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If they can be a blessing to you in your life by helping you with your air conditioning or heating needs, just because it's February the 19th, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're through with cold weather, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're not through with cold weather either. So you want to make sure that you are prepared for whatever comes along. And a lot of times during these milder seasons, work crews are not quite as busy as far as air conditioning and heating goes. And so it might be a good time for you to consider having your system looked at and checked out and make sure that you are prepared for what is coming ahead in the as far as the temperatures go. If Creative AC Solutions can be of assistance to you in that area, give them a call, 321-759-3284, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. We've been talking for several days now about the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness. We will be wrapping those topic up here in just a couple of broadcasts, and then we will move on to the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. The emphasis there being self-control. Control thyself. But so far we have been looking at this, the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness or meekness or mildness. It is great strength under control. It is humility. It is translated in all of those various different aspects. And like I said, it is great strength under God's control. It is how we address some of the questions in life. Some of the things that we've talked about so far is we receive people. How do we receive people? Well, we receive them in the spirit of meekness. We receive them not as a threat. We receive them as a gift from God to us. We have talked about how do you receive the word. You know, at church yesterday, if you went to church in a bad mood, if you went to church having, you know, your feelings hurt by somebody or things that were distracted, it affects the way that you receive the word of God. And so you want to receive the word with meekness as well. How do we clothe ourselves? How do we adorn ourselves? How do we prepare ourselves for encountering other people as we go out and represent Jesus? Well, part of that divine wardrobe is in Colossians chapter 3, where we clothe ourselves. We put on, as the elect of God, the humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering. And so as we prepare ourselves to engage with other people in a fallen world, it is very much needed that we equip ourselves with meekness. How do we walk worthy of our calling? There is a lifestyle that we lead, and we do that with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That was Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Question number 5 is, how do we work? We do not work to earn our salvation. We work because of our salvation, and we do our work with the meekness of wisdom. We ask God to equip us with wisdom from heaven, James chapter 3, and that wisdom gives us strength on how to navigate the minefields of life, how to successfully work for the glory of God. Next is, how do we share our faith? Well, we share our faith with words, but we also share our faith with meekness. It is through the conduct that we live, and we are prepared at any given point in time to give a reason for the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. And so, you know, and I will tell you this, if somebody asks you a question and you don't know the answer, don't try and snow them. Don't try and pretend the way that you would portray yourself as knowing something that you don't know. A week ago, we had a missionary speaker with us, and he told me a story before service. He said that there was a renowned physicist who traveled around and gave lectures over and over and over again. And this chauffeur drove him and attended all of the lectures. And pretty soon he had the entire lecture memorized verbatim. And so one day they're driving, and they said, and the chauffeur told the guy, he said, you know, I know your material as well as you know material. I could, if something ever happens to you, I could step in and fill in for you, and nobody would ever know the difference. And the physicist said, really? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, I tell you what, I'll dress up as the chauffeur. I'll drive you tonight. You can dress up with me, like me, and you can go in there and you can give the lecture. And so sure enough, the guy got up there. He presented the material, you know, just with the same passion, the same emphasis. He duplicated everything that the physicist would say. But unexpectedly that night, they decided to open up the floor for some Q&A, some questions and answers, and a member of the audience asked a question, and the chauffeur, who was pretending to be the physicist, had no idea how to answer that question. But rather than let anybody know that he didn't know how to answer that question, he responded by saying, you know, that question is so simple that even my chauffeur can answer that question, and so I'm going to have him stand up and answer that question for you. You see, he didn't want people to know that he wasn't what he was projecting to be. He didn't know the answer. And I tell you that story to say, if you don't know, you know, if somebody asks you a question about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know the answer, say, you know, I'm going to do some research on that, and I will get back with you so that I give you an adequate answer, not an insufficient answer. So, but I do encourage you, be prepared. Every time you go out the door, that you are prepared to represent Jesus well, that you are prepared to represent faith well. And if there's one thing that I have learned over the past few years, it's that I've got to be prepared to encounter people in the community in such a manner that I represent Jesus well at all times. So that was that day. We also talked about the Spirit to restore. God wants to restore fallen individuals in it, and it comes with a spiritual maturity, a spirit of meekness on the part of those who are in the restoration business. They're there to help people to get back to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is a spiritual problem, and restoration is spiritual business. From there, we went on to Titus, and that's where we are today. Titus chapter 3, verse number 1, and it says this: "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So what we are going to talk about today is, how do you teach someone? How do you teach someone? You know, their old school was, you would get up there, you would lecture. You know, there's lots of horror stories that if you didn't get the right answer, if you misbehaved, there would someone that would come along and they would smack your knuckles with a ruler. I encountered a conversation with a person and said that they minister in a culture that does not promote teaching how to think. What they do is they teach solutions that are already known. So basically all they are doing is imparting, this is the problem, this is the solution, and there's only one solution to every problem, and you've got to memorize that. And so everyone who is taught in that is taught to excel at rote memorization, where it is engrafted. It is something that it comes just real, real quick. But they don't understand how to think. What if a new problem arises? What if a new situation comes about? And so I want to you to realize that having the ability to teach someone to think the way that Jesus would have them to think, that is what we were looking at. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. We live in a day where rebellion is glorified, where anarchy is celebrated, where the philosophy of the day is for everyone to do what is right in their own eyes. And the reality is, there's a day of reckoning that is coming. There is a day of accountability. And there are so many people who do not address the fact that we're accountable. We're accountable. We have got to live our lives as such to where we recognize the authorities over us. And so I'm very thankful for my presbyter. I'm thankful for my superintendent. I'm thankful for the board that we work together to make sure that we don't do stupid stuff at Merit Assembly of God. I'm thankful for our police officers. And so if you see me out in the community and I see a police officer, I'm walking past them, I'm going to thank them for their service. If I encounter a military personnel, I'm going to thank them for their service. When I was in a hospital, I wasn't a patient. I was there with my mother, but I thanked the people in the hospital for their service. I think you should thank fire people or firemen for their service. And we should come to that place where we respect the authority over us. So even if I'm not doing anything wrong, but a police officer holds his hands up and tells me to stop, I'm going to stop. You know why? Because many times they're clearing the way for kids to cross coming out of a school zone. I might not understand, why am I stopping just because this person who puts on their pants just the same way that I do, one leg at a time, he's holding up a hand that is not going to stop my 3,000-pound vehicle. Why would I stop? I stop because of the authority that man represents. He is operating under the authority that he has been endowed with for the welfare, the protection, and the safety of this community. So you teach people to operate that way. Here is what I have found. Many people want to operate in rebellion, and then they expect people under their authority to do what they say. There is that law of sowing and reaping. And as long as the earth endures, there's going to be sowing and there's going to be reaping. And so you need to make sure that if you want people to respect your authority, that you have got to respect those in authority over you. So it says, remind them, teach them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Okay? Be prepared. Be ready. How do you teach somebody? You teach them to speak evil of no one. Very hard to do. Very hard to do. You know, there is so much technology that is out there. There are devices that people put in their homes that captivate every word that they say and will sometimes take the words that they say, act upon that initiative, order a product, and have it delivered to their house, charged to their credit card, and then when it shows up, the people are saying, what in the world? Where did this come from? And they don't realize that it was words that came out of their mouth. The bigger surprise has been when it has come out of the mouth of their children, where it is just automatically takes what the kids say and say, you know what? And I say that to say this, be careful how you talk about people. When I was a teenager, I worked for a company. They had a new assistant manager that came to the store, and he had a unique clothing style. This was back in the 70s, and if you know anything about the 70s, that was the era of disco, and he came to work in outfits, hairstyles, everything that looked like, as soon as I get off work, I'm headed to the disco. And can still tell you what his name is to this day. And I remember being in the break room and saying something about his clothing style and giving him a nickname, only to walk around the corner, and there he was. Now, he and I, we ended up having a great relationship, but I learned very early that you've got to be careful when you are addressing other people, because you never know. They may be right outside the door. They might be right outside your window. The other day, I accidentally pocket dialed somebody. I wasn't talking about them or anything like that. My son says, Dad, you're not supposed to be able to pocket dial with your smartphone. Well, I have the capability. And I hear this voice coming out of my pocket saying, Pastor Bob, Pastor Bob. I was actually in another meeting, and somehow I had activated. I don't even know how to do that, but somehow I accomplished it accidentally. Be careful, because you could pocket dial somebody and be talking about them, and then you have just sowed a mess into your life. So he says, also be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to men. And that is that word humility in the New King James Version is translated meekness in the King James Version. And that is how you and I are supposed to teach. We don't teach with arrogance. We don't teach with hostility. We don't teach with brute force. We teach with humility. And teaching is not just me verbally passing ideas from my brain cells and off of a piece of paper into the airwaves. Teaching hasn't happened until the thought has been received and applied inside the person's heart to where it has become a reality. You know, I've probably heard north of 10,000 sermons. A good number of those I've preached. But some of those sermons, I don't know if this ever happened to you. I can be reading the Bible. I go through a lot of Bibles, and I can be reading the Bible and say, wow, what a great thought. And all of a sudden, I look in an older Bible and I see that I had the exact same thought. And I'm thinking I just had a breakthrough revelation and realized I've already had that revelation that I forgot all about it. There are other things that I have been taught by God that are so ingrained into my personality that if you wanted me to, I could preach for hours and never have to look at notes, because it is so instilled inside of me that it is, you know, when God taught it to me, I received it, I applied it, and I live it on a daily basis. Some of my favorite teachers were not, when I was going to school, some of my favorite teachers were not the teacher who wrote the textbook. It was the teacher who taught. Who taught with the goal of making sure that their students understood the material, applied the material, and that they would excel in the future with that. I had a teacher in high school. I shouldn't have even been in her class at that point in time, but she believed in me. You know, if I needed a GPA boost, I took a math class. It was just something that I excelled at pretty well. And she believed in me to such an extent, she wanted me to take a summer school class so that I could get on into more advanced math classes. And, you know, I'll never forget people like that. Two types of people you don't forget. You don't forget those who tear you down, but you also don't forget those who build you up. And I like to focus on the ones who've built me up. The person who told me you're worthless and you'll never make it in the ministry does not have the ruling emphasis in my life today. Instead, the person that told me, Bob, you are called by God, gifted by God, and God is going to use you to be an encouragement to people's lives. That's the person who still to this day has bearing on my life. I had a conversation with a person sometime back, and it was a conversation similar to what you've heard me describe that had happened with Ed Silvoso in an Ed Silvoso meeting down in Melbourne. I think it was about 1998, if I'm not mistaken. And Ed Silvoso came and he talked about this man who came into his office and told him the saddest story that he'd ever heard. And the man wept and Ed Silvoso wept. And at the end of this time, he said, brother, how long ago was it? And the answer was 42 years. And I had a conversation with someone, myself, and it was a similar situation where they were describing, you know, tragic, horrible things that had taken place and had left them altered forever. And finally, after having gone through this conversation over and over and over again, I asked this question. I said, how long ago did this happen? And it was a long time. It wasn't weeks, it wasn't days, it wasn't months, it wasn't years, it was decades. And I went on to describe to this person, you know, I've been through some similar situations, maybe not to the full extent that what you have, or you know, and I'm not minimizing that, but I said this, you know what, I don't give those tragic experiences in my life the ability and the influence to rule and reign. I don't allow my past to destroy my present or my future. And I pray that you and I, that we would recognize that we teach people with humility. You know, the question isn't how fast can you grasp the concept. The question for the teacher who teaches with humility is, what can I do to help you grasp the concept? And so I'm actually celebrating this year because we had people that in the past year God has brought to Merit Assembly of God, and they have partnered with us as far as our missions program, and for that we are just exceptionally grateful. I love it. You know, the old A-team line that my dad would quote all the time. I love it when a plan comes together. For me, I love it when the truth of God's word grabs hold of someone's heart and it begins to touch them. So it says, the reason that we teach with humility is for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Okay? The reason that we teach with humility is because we were once where the people that we are trying to encourage in their walk with the Lord may be at this point in time. Never forget where God brought you from. If he brought you out of the deepest miry pit that you ever encountered in your life, then when you encounter a person who is in a pit just like the one God brought you out of, don't look upon them with disdain, but say, you know, look upon them with faith and say, I know that what God did for me, he can do for you. Okay? The problem is too many times that the greater the distance between our conversion and our current reality, the farther that span gets, the lesser our compassion for the lost gets. And I want to remind you that Jesus is still not wanting any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. He's still in the salvation business. There's still not a sin that is so entrenched in people's lives that the love of God cannot break that stronghold, destroy that stronghold, and cause a modern-day Saul to become a messenger of faith that will radically impact a community, or a woman at the well who has a horrible reputation who ends up being a person that is the initial contact person that leads an entire community into a revival. Let's remember where God brought us from, and then we'll be able to teach others with humility, the spirit of humility. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like